WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Police has arrested a 28-year-old in the killings of an Arkansas couple in Devil's Den State Park. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Clinton and Kristen Brink were hiking with their two daughters, ages 7 and 9, about 170 miles northwest of Little Rock when they were fatally attacked. The sisters escaped to the visitor center unharmed.
South Korea, the latest country to reach a deal with the Trump administration before the president's higher tariffs kick in tomorrow. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Now it seems that we're settling at a 15% tariff rate with some, I would say, hazy details on how those countries will be investing in the United States, different for each country.
An 8-year-old and his mother among at least 7 people killed in a Russian drone and missile attack on Kyiv. The BBC's Jonathan Beale is in the Ukrainian capital.
More than 300 drones were fired, 8 missiles, most of those shot down by Ukraine's air defenses.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. The State Fair opened gates today. The festival runs through August 10th at the fairgrounds in West Allis. You can get a rundown at wistatefair.com. There are still numbers coming out regarding the RNC's event in Milwaukee. The committee that hosted last summer's Republican National Convention has announced it's giving over $5 million to local nonprofits. The money left over from funds raised for the big event will help youth programs, veterans, and shelters around the city. More than 80 charities, including the Boys and Girls Club and the Milwaukee Rescue Mission, are seeing the benefit. Federal prosecutors are rejecting Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan's defense that she's immune from prosecution in her obstruction case. They argue the law doesn't support that reasoning. UrbanMilwaukee.com reports there was a filing in the case this week from prosecutors. A magistrate judge has recommended that the case move forward. Judge Lynn Edelman will make the final call on whether it goes to trial. There's no date yet on that decision. Wisconsin officially gets a new Supreme Court justice tomorrow. Savannah Tomei Olson has more.
Susan Crawford will be sworn in as Justice Ann Walsh Bradley's term ends. Crawford won against Brad Schimmel in the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history. It was seen by many analysts as a referendum on the early actions of President Donald Trump's new administration and Elon Musk, who poured millions into the race for Schimmel. The court will still have a 4-3 liberal majority after she's sworn in. Former Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky is now the Chief Justice on the state's high court. Crawford's swearing in is tomorrow at 4:30. Next year, conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley is up for re-election. Democrat Chris Taylor has already announced she's running to unseat Bradley.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay at the Packers training camp, where the defense has set a goal to force more turnovers. When the Packers recover at least one fumble, they've won 30 of their last 38 games. Baseball. The Brewers head to Washington to face the Nationals tomorrow night. The Brewers got blitzed by the Cubs 10-3. Chicago All-Star Pete Crow Armstrong once dyed his hair blue at the start of spring training yesterday. He was 3-of-4 with 2 doubles, scored a pair of runs, and 1 RBI, including a hot grounder that got past second baseman Bryce Terang, Pat Murphy.
I mean, that kid, the blue-haired kid, hits the ball really hard, and it was hit really hard. I've seen Bryce make great plays. I don't know if he could make that one. He's been the best defender in the game, and now every time he doesn't make a play or everything, you know, it's like, he's human. But the blue-haired kid was, we had him down 2 strikes most of the time, and then he just, you know, did a good job of putting it in play after that.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, our high right around 74 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 65. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story. Really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
In a special edition, former White House ethics attorney Richard Painter joins us to break down how digital currency could undermine democracy. Don't miss this important conversation.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, welcome back. Good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, last day of July, July 31st. 2025. This hour, we're going to be talking to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets and the latest economic news, creating an economic picture that is as hazy as the skies of Wisconsin right now with all that wildfire smoke. It is tough to get a read on what exactly is happening right now, other than that it is the economy is kind of smoky, kind of sluggish, the way that we're all feeling right now. We'll talk to Chad Holmes. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki. All that coming up. First meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to talk about the smoke and the haze. And, you know, it's nice not to be rainy anymore, but we can't seem to buy that perfect day, you know, of sunny skies, not too hot and not too smoky. The quest for the Goldilocks weather goes on.
It still does. I wish I could just push a button and deliver that for everyone, but
we do too. You know,
it's one or the other. We're getting far and few between perfect summer days. You know, either the humidity's cranked up, we're getting showers and thunderstorms, or some wildfire smoke, and that's the day today. And some of that could linger still through tomorrow. So right now, air quality unhealthy statewide. Very unhealthy into areas of Appleton, Green Bay, Door County. The Northeast, Northwoods, north of Wausau, it is getting worse by the minute there. It's kind of seeping down the lakeshore a little bit. So right now, you know, I'd suggest staying indoors, taking it easy. Don't overexert yourself, stuff like that. We're all feeling the symptoms, whether you're healthy or not. It's kind of affecting a lot of people. This is going to stick here today pretty thick. It does want to start to move north and west slowly late tonight. So areas of Milwaukee, Madison, you should see some relief hopefully by tomorrow. But the rest of the state, it still wants to linger. Maybe through the morning, gone by the afternoon is my hopes. But we are still stuck with this cloud of wildfire smoke. And there's a ton of wildfires up north and out west. And of course, today we've got the high pressure. Unfortunately, that is the reason why this is here. It kind of settles the air, brings it down to the surface. And this dry stretch sticks with us. We are looking dry today, tomorrow, into the weekend. Really, chances of rain are only minimal on Monday and Tuesday into next week. But before that, we still have to battle some big waves on Lake Michigan today. It is breezy down by Milwaukee, gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Those waves are climbing 4 to 6 feet. So some dangerous currents out there, but comfortable. Low to mid 70s statewide today, mid to upper 70s across the state tomorrow and through the rest of the weekend.
And from Tom in Jackson on the text line, he simply says, how much rain yesterday? Well, zero up here in Chippewa Falls. I don't know anybody else's, but it was a goodly amount that fell throughout a big course of the day in the southern half of Wisconsin.
Yeah, there definitely was. You know, I didn't look at totals either, but the when I was tracking it yesterday, it was putting down at least a good half an inch to an inch in places.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tony up in Ashland says, just give me my 15 below zero weather. All this mowing is ridiculous. Well, Tony, you got to call Robin Tigerton. Have him come up and do the mowing for you up there in Ashland. Problem solved. You're welcome. So thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. Hey, coming up tomorrow on the program, right at this very moment, after Brittany's all done with her 8 o'clock weather, we will be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She is a candidate for governor, and we'll be talking all about her decision to run, the career path that took her to this point, and where she would like to take Wisconsin if she is elected as next governor of the state next year. So again, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, tomorrow at this time, here on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Chad Holmes is here now from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. How are you doing?
Doing terrific. How about you?
Doing okay. Again, this haze is a little weird. You try to rise above it and say, look, it's just you can't do anything about it. But it really does, it takes a little something off your fastball. You know,
you're right. No, you're exactly right. This
has
been the best morning of the week. I know we still have the haze, but temperature wise, it is. I love these kind of mornings when you come into work where you have that coolness in the air. I mean, when I walked out the door this morning, it was a little surprising because I had not been used to it. It had been so warm and humid for the last number of days. Boy, you may get a little bit more on the fastball when you feel the temperature a little bit cooler like it was today.
Yeah. What have you been following? You've had such interesting guests lately, and I want to give you a chance to talk because, again, for folks that aren't aware, I think most of you are by now, but we do have these local breaks at 720, 750, 820, 850 for some, not all of our stations, to do a little local update, get a little local news, a little local interview. We've talked to Earl Ingram about his podcast, James Kelly and Jimmy Cusk about stories they're following, and I always see you posting on Facebook about some of the guests and topics that you're doing over there in Wausau, so that if folks can't get it over the air on the radio, they can get you through the Civic Media app. So tell us what you've been doing.
You know, what I am trying to do here, and it's kind of odd that we're coming up. I mean, tomorrow is the third anniversary of Civic Media taking over WXCO. It's August the 1st of 2022 at 12 midnight. So I still remember the folks from, it was a very small operation back then, but coming up here to try to get everything turned over so the programming would be ready to roll. Were you on August the 1st of 2022 yet, or was it after that?
It was about that time because the original show was 8 to 11 a.m., and I believe it took place on that day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because, I mean, and you have probably been around it in broadcasting when you have major changes like that where you have to get a lot of new equipment to get all the programming in. So obviously that was very, very hectic that day. But one thing that Civic Media continues to do, and one thing that I'm trying to do, is to continue to evolve and try to have that right mixture. And I'm having a mixture, basically, of talking about a lot of interesting people, and I think a lot of interesting stories, and also trying to, you know, be a little bit, I don't know, for lack of a term, edgy at times with some of my opinions.
Spicy. Spicy is the way that Tony puts it. Hey, look what I found. I found it here. We kick off August 1st, 2022, episode 1. Comparison, where are we at today on shows? Oh, Lordy, I've lost it already. Because we've been doing this for a good
this
long
is
time.
Show number 613.
613. So August 1 was show number 1, 2022. It says, we kick off our brand new radio show with Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. And yes, we talk about how hard the goats are working to clear invasive species out of a city park. We get into PFAS contamination and her early endorsement of Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes for Senate and the highs and lows of being mayor. We also talked to Nancy Stensel about Marathon County's new threat to groundwater, and it's part of a lawsuit. There's also a lawsuit about Tom Tiffany, Scott Fitzgerald, and Ron Johnson. Should they be booted off the ballot for supporting insurrectionists? So we've been topical, Chad, you and I, since day one when we started this thing.
Yeah, some things stay the same, and some things change. And you were talking to our mayor 3 years ago, and I'll be in the next local segment talking a little bit more about our mayor right now, Doug Denny. And I am frustrated with this whole process. And I don't know, maybe I'm being unfair. I know that that sometimes justice takes time, but at the same time, this was in broad daylight. I don't understand what the Wisconsin Department of Justice is doing that takes this long. This week we had a meeting with the Wausau Ethics Board. Their investigation has closed, but now they have the hearing, and they're going to have a hearing coming up. And one of the things that's frustrating to me is they're going to be forced to subpoena a few folks that are public servants in order to get the relevant communication between themselves and the mayor during that time frame last September when he put on the hard hat, he put on the vest, and went out there with a camera and removed a Dropbox.
Right.
And I mean, this is not a case where, boy, we got to find out who did what.
It's such a mystery. Yeah, yeah.
But
no.
The thing that really frustrates me, and I don't know, maybe I'm off, and you can tell me I'm off on this, but we have a number of folks that are, I would say, public officials who are refusing to share communications and documents with the mayor during this time frame, saying that it's too broad. Or if you ask me specifically, I can be able to help you in this way. The chairperson of
trying to get around open records, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the chairman of the ethics board said a couple of them sound like they came from the same folks in terms of the writing of it, that maybe a lawyer was involved in it.
Yeah.
But beyond all of that, the thing, I mentioned this yesterday. The idea that you are a public servant and you're trying to play these little games. Oh, it's too broad. If you ask me specifically, then I'll be able to help you.
Oh yeah, delay. They're learning from Trump.
But no, the thing that really annoys me about this is that as a public servant, you should be stepping forward with any information to make this system work, not playing games to try to play, you know, whack-a-mole here. You missed me. That's frustrating to me.
Well, it should be because you're essentially an accessory at that point. You're helping somebody get away with something, which is exactly what you would say to all of the, you know, Trump apologists out there that are running roughshod over the rule of law. Is they're not just being good foot soldiers to Trump. No, they're being accomplices. And why wouldn't you want to get to the bottom of something where, yeah, somebody you would normally support is doing something wrong, and you should be willing to call that out? And we've seen a real abandonment of that American value lately.
Of good government. Mm-hmm. I mean, another example, this is nationally yesterday, I'm sure you saw the state of Texas pushing forward.
Oh, yeah, with the gerrymander.
Gerrymander. Mm-hmm. And it's all so blatant now. Donald Trump says, I mean, Donald Trump, say what you will, the guy is incapable of hiding his crimes.
Right.
I mean, he just talks about, yeah, this will be great for the Republicans. This will keep the Republicans in power. Again, it's like the idea of good government is so passe now. And now we're forced into a situation where Democrats are forced to say, well, you have to fight fire with fire. And frankly, I don't see how you can't. If one side is not going to acknowledge or going to play the rules differently than you do, it's a terrible spot to be in my
opinion. It's exactly what I said on Todd's show yesterday. He asked about this Texas map situation. And I said, this is very difficult for me to say, but I can no longer in good conscience tell people in New York or California, oh, no, you shouldn't do that because, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. But now it's more like, don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. You're in something now with people who are so dismissive of the rule of law and fairness that you have to look at the full level of options, you know, before you. And while I would not be the one to initiate that bill in California, New York, or some other deep blue state to say, you know what, we're going to reconfigure too, just to maintain balance. I might not be the one to introduce the bill, but I could no longer say I would vote against it.
And unfortunately, and I was reading a story on this, that the rules in New York and California make it more difficult to blatantly do a political gerrymander than it is in Texas.
I wonder why that might be.
But doesn't that say a lot in itself?
Yes, it says a lot about values and where they are strongest and where they are more antithetical to, you know, the freedom that they love to talk about. but don't really want for everybody. Chad Holmes has all this and more in his segments on 98.9 WXCO. Catch him there and on the Civic Media app. Follow him on Facebook as well. Chad, thank you so much as always. We'll talk to you again later.
You bet.
All right. Have a great day. Coming up next, well, some of you are going to get a local update. And then when we're all back together in our next half hour, we will get some news from the economy with the opening bell from Sean O'Malley and then Joe Zepecki, all coming up here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had six times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday!
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you're one of our listeners who belongs to the Latino community, there is an event happening in Milwaukee tonight at 6:30. Somos Votantes is putting on their Vino y Queso Night at Milwaukee Cheese Bar, which is by the Hill Valley Dairy. They're located at 138 West Bruce Street in Walker's Point. You can find out more by going to SOMOSVOTANTES.org. SomosVotantes.org to find out more information and registering for tonight's event. But I wanted to get to know the group a little bit better and get an understanding of what people can expect tonight. So I sat down with Juan Garcia, who is the Wisconsin State Program Manager for Somos Votantes, to give me all the details. Juan, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell us about what you do with Somos Votantes and what your group does with the community?
Yes. Hello, Greg. My name is Juan, and I'm the Wisconsin Program Manager. We're a national group, but our main focus is in four states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, and Arizona. And so we recently started doing a lot of events here in Wisconsin to bring community, the Latino community, together to create a sense of community amongst the different groups within the Latino community, whether it's youth, Latino men or Latina women, to try and open up a space for them to come together and speak about what is going on in politics, in their lives, in their economic side, and see if we can plug in and try to help them develop, better economic education, or try to, build community around different things that they need, or based on the conversations that we're having.
I'm sure to you and your colleagues, when you're doing work like this, bringing communities together, you find no shortage of questions and concerns. But I'd really like to know, what is the biggest concern coming from the folks that you talk to at these events that you have?
Yeah, so to no one's surprise, or maybe to a lot of people's surprise, the Latino community, number one thing or issue right now is the economic kind of stability that or instability that they have during these times. Like many Americans, people are suffering, their pockets are suffering. And so, the not knowing of what to do tomorrow, the not knowing of where, the paycheck, or how we're going to cover next week's rent, it's very true in the Latino community. And so that's an ongoing conversation that happened before the election, and that's an ongoing conversation that is still real true today.
And when you talk about that as a concern from the Latino community, that's one of the things we do here is have these discussions, because those are concerns for all people as well. And that's something that should connect us in what we're looking for in our leadership, in our programs that help us. And I think it's important to get that out there. And I thank you for being here to let the people know. I mean, we all have busy lives. And it's important to remind the listeners that it comes down to the kitchen table economy, getting food on the table, working, paying the bills, making sure we got health care, those kinds of things. And those are on the minds of everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like a very simple kind of conversation, but at the end of the day, it's very complex. And this is why SOMOS wants to be at the center front of events like we're having one tomorrow evening. Where we bring Latina women together to talk about how to open up their own business, or how to start an LLC, or how to certify their business to make everything official and to start bringing in some extra revenue. And so we want to make sure that SOMOS is able to help in different capacities and try to educate the community, whether it's with investing, whether it's, one of the speakers is going to be a credit union representative to try to maximize or utilize credit unions to the best of their abilities. An LLC tax preparer is also going to be there helping women talk about tax incentives and what they can do to make their money go a little further. And we're doing this month by month, different events, try to cater to different demographics within the Latino community.
And your event is happening tonight. Can you give us some of the basic details, the where's and what time it's going to be taking place, as well as how people could attend?
Yes. It's happening tonight at Hill Valley Dairy, which is in Walker's Point. We decided to do it in Walker's Point because 67% of Walker's Point's population is the Latino community. And then obviously you have right underneath on the south side, it's home ground for the Latino community. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's happening tonight at 6:30. We have around 40 RSVP. We do have a wait list, but we're not going to turn anyone away if they do decide to show up and be part of this conversation. It's going to be a round table. It's going to entail what people are feeling, but also try to have that component where someone's moderating the conversation to make sure the attendees get the information that they need. And we're also able to get the information from people so we can plug them into different things as they desire, whether it be volunteer work or whether it be more information based on whatever conversation comes about.
And you said you have these events going on a regular basis. If someone wants to find out more about future happenings, where can they go to find out more information?
SomosVotantes.com. We have, and our social media is also SomosVotantes. If you can find us, we have very specific events coming up for different states. So wherever you feel kind of levitated or, want to be part of, we're more than happy to plug you in or just have you be in attendance. Our next event is in August. August 28th, we'll be doing a book bag giveaway for students in the South Side too. Yeah. We're giving away about 150 book bags and just making sure that we help the community as much as we can during these times.
Juan Garcia is the Wisconsin Program Manager for Somos Votantes. You can find out more about this event by going to somosvotantes.org. Juan, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to spend some time with us. We'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you, Greg.
I want to thank Juan for coming in today and talking to us about the event. Again, you can go to somosvotantes.org for more information on this evening's event, which is happening at Milwaukee Cheese Bar, located at 138 West Bruce Street in Walker's Point in Milwaukee. Stick around, because after the news, Pat welcomes political consultant Joe Zepecki to the show to talk about the governor's race and everything going on in Wisconsin politics, so stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 8:29.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Wisconsin State Fair starts today, kicking off 11 days of music, animals, rides, and lots of food options. Country band Midland plays tonight, Boys to Men tomorrow. The celebration runs through next weekend. According to an official report, Wisconsin taxpayers will see $1.5 billion tax cut thanks to the new state budget. The findings from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau show that while there are tax cuts, fees will go up overall by about $180 million. It was an ICE arrest at a Lutheran church in Waukesha that has led to a lawsuit from a Milwaukee-based Lutheran association. The WPR report says back in May, someone was taken into custody at Ascension Lutheran Church in Waukesha. Now the Greater Milwaukee Synod, which reps dozens of area churches, has joined a nationwide lawsuit against a policy allowing immigration agents inside churches. The lawsuit claims the policy change from Washington has scared people away from worship services and has harmed church communities. They say the government action, which they want stopped, interferes with religious freedom. Last year's fish stocking numbers from the DNR were recently released. Melissa Kay reports.
Over 5 million fish were stocked last year. This helps boost natural fish populations, maintain or restore existing fisheries, and support recreational fishing opportunities. Some of the species stocked in inland waters include brook and brown trout, lake sturgeon and lake trout, muskellunge or muskie, rainbow trout, and walleye. In Lake Michigan, they stocked chinook and coho salmon along with trout species muskie and sturgeon. And in Lake Superior, they stocked brown trout, lake trout, and splake. You can see all the numbers on the DNR's fish stocking database.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're an actor and only interested in kissing your wife on screen, well, it would help if she's an actress, and a good one. Otherwise, you might miss out on some jobs. Sex and the City and Yellowstone actor Neil McDonough refuses to kiss any woman who is not his wife, even for big bucks. He says sticking to his principles has cost him work and that show business turned on him for a while. The Suits actor says he was fired from a shoot for refusing to do an intimate scene, and after that, he felt like less of a man in terms of who he was, his livelihood, and says he lost his acting swagger. He also says he started to drink. He did, however, eventually make a comeback despite his contractual stipulations. Producer Graham Yost did Neil a solid and cast him in Justified. McDonough told the Nothing Left Unsaid podcast that his wife doesn't even have an issue with him not doing those type of scenes. It's just that he doesn't want to kiss other women. There is something so sweet and yet so strange about that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, our high right around 74 this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 65. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jim Santel, friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review will be here as we continue to break down the Epstein story and all things sports with Paul Noonan.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network with all kinds of outlets in many states, all kinds of newsletters, video series, and more. One of our newest newsletters is Below the Beltway from Cam Stevenson, Courier Newsroom's new Capitol Hill correspondent. You can get it on Substack at beltway.news or at couriernewsroom.com. Joe Zepecki is standing by. First couple of final moments here with Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets. Wall Street, the markets have been open for 5-6 minutes now and opening very slightly mixed. And mixed is really the way that we're kind of looking at the economic news here, Sean, from the New York Times story yesterday about this mixed bag. Many forecasters expect a further deterioration in the months ahead as tariffs work their way through the supply chain, the federal job cuts filter through the economy, and stricter immigration policies take a toll on industries that rely on foreign-born workers. And so that's really why we're saying it's not that the glass is half empty or half full. It's that we don't really know what's even in the glass yet, I think.
Well, that's true, Pat. But we're seeing, you know, the American consumer is not stupid. Consumer confidence, which was at an all-time low last month, went up a little bit, but it's still at 97.2, which is well below the 100 mark. And above 100, that means, you know, people are optimistic. 97.2, people are not optimistic. That's number one. Number two, we're looking at some of the impacts of that that were described in that New York Times article already forecast. Now, we know tomorrow morning we're going to get a non-farm payroll number. Right now, the expectations are between 110 and 120,000 jobs. That is extremely low. We have seen it sort of limping by between the 100 to 150 range every month, you know, previous to this this year. But this is the lowest that we've seen forecast-wise, and we are seeing also an expectation for unemployment to start ticking up. And as we talked about earlier with more specific example of Ford, we're seeing the impact of the tariffs starting to hit profits. So there are a lot of unknowns. The Fed seems to be taking prudent action by not cutting interest rates, but there's not a lot to cheer about. There's a lot to keep watching for, unfortunately.
So again, no participation trophy for President Trump for not crashing the economy, simply taking what had been the strongest recovery post-pandemic and taking us into the muck, which is where we, you know, we're still waiting to see what direction we go in the muck. Sean O'Malley, thanks so much as always. Hopefully you can get out on the boat soon. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you much.
All right. Let's bring in Joe Zepecki now at 8:38 to talk about the week in politics in Wisconsin here and other stories. And Joe, I guess I'm going to be the first to claim that I was surprised. I would not have been surprised to see half a dozen people announce since last Thursday afternoon when Governor Evers said he wasn't running for governor, announce their own campaigns for governor. That's not to say that we won't get a half a dozen or more candidates coming in, but I was wrong. I thought a few others were like prepping and were going to want to be one of the first ones to get into the race. What was your impression?
Well, I want to talk about this from the very like political operative standpoint.
Sure.
which is once somebody has first mover advantage, what's the rush, right? Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez was ready to go. And by the way, I tip my cap to her and her team for being ready, right? They have made clear, the governor has made clear, she didn't have any forewarning. She didn't have any, you know, super secret heads up about this, but she knew this was a binary reality. The governor was going to run for re-election or he wasn't. And if he wasn't going to run for re-election, which is ultimately what he chose, she was going to run for governor. And so she and her team were ready to go. Once that has flown, right, and somebody is the first mover for the second candidate, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, however many it ends up becoming, there becomes less of a ticking clock of you have to get in. And I think the calculus becomes more, you want to get in the best way you can with all of the ducks that you can possibly get in a row lined up and tidied up. And I offer that as someone who was part of a gubernatorial campaign that launched in the first half of October in 2013. There's nothing that says you have to be announced before Labor Day the year before. We've got a long way to go before the next, before a year plus from now's August primary, mm-hmm. and then another several months before a general election.
And to pull back the curtain a little bit on one of the favorite talking points, that, you know, the gotcha moment for the lieutenant governor, that are like, she had posted something to YouTube and it was listed as secret until it was time to announce. That's how YouTube works, yeah. is that you create videos that you may or may not want to make public. You list them as private until you're ready to release them or delete them. And like you said, she was ready to go, yeah. so that when it was just a matter of unchecking that private box, so to have it ready ahead of time isn't the gotcha moment that some folks think it is.
No, it speaks to, I think, the kind of leader Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez is, which is somebody who is strategic and looks out along the horizon and tries to figure out what's coming up. That's the kind of strategic thinking and vision you want from somebody in an executive position. So she did a great job. It's a fantastic announcement video. Like, I think it turned a lot of heads, because let's be honest, Lieutenant Governor is not the highest profile position in the state. You are not in the newspaper every single day. There are, you know, there's lots of attention on you during the campaign, and then you are sort of, you know, a little bit more behind the scenes. Now, Rodriguez has been out there working her tail off for the last two and a half, three years. But this was the first time that a lot of people really got to see her. And I think they saw someone who's dynamic, someone who has a real sense of who they are and what they want to do, and the capacity to communicate what we're fighting for every single day. And that's what it takes to be successful in today's political environment. So I thought a really nice job by her. And in the week since, she has started to get some of that political ridiculousness. And she is doing exactly what you want to see, which is she's not taking any crap. She's punching back against nonsense from the right. And I think a really, really strong start to the campaign for Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez.
And by the way, the nonsense, and I've used up most of my firepower in the 6 a.m. hour of the show when I went after the folks who, again, were saying, well, her husband, you know, undocumented? Shut up. He's a naturalized American citizen. And while Trump and others may be, you know, talking out loud about taking away people's naturalized citizenship, A, they can't do it. B, shame on you. C, naturalized citizens, by and large, are more qualified American voters than a whole lot of people who were born as citizens, given the hoops that they wanted to jump through, the work that they did. And so for anybody who's already going with that smear, you know, never mind everything that I just said about how low that is. The lieutenant governor's response was something along the lines of, that's not going to lower anybody's grocery bill. That's yep. not going to do anything substantive for the voter. And that's exactly the kind of perspective to put on this.
Yeah, she's hit every note in the first week. And now we sort of see who else is on the list of thinking about it and getting ready to go. And she will not be the only candidate, but it's a question of how many other people jump in and how quickly they do so.
Yeah. And one more note that the Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, will be joining us at 8:05 tomorrow here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Looking forward to the visit. And again, as more candidates get into the race, we are looking forward to talking to all of them so that folks who take part in this primary and all the other primaries feel like they're making an informed decision, because you and I both know how big these fields can get. You can get eight candidates on the ballot and you go, I don't know, how do I pick from one of these? Well, we try to talk to them one by one by one. And with the Lieutenant Governor running, that gives us a chance to mention that in Wisconsin, you don't run as running mates until after the primary. You get stuck with, to put it bluntly, your running mate, because people run separately for Lieutenant Governor. And then the winner of the gubernatorial primary and the winner of the lieutenant governor primary, now they run together as a ticket in November. And it is it's not a mystery that there have been governors in the past who had a first choice for lieutenant governor, but that person didn't win the primary, and so they got a lieutenant governor that was not their first choice.
Yeah, and I am old enough to remember some of that. It's a quirky way to do it, but it's the way we've got. I am looking forward to a robust start to the gubernatorial primary for the remainder of 2025. I would throw out a note of caution to folks who are considering running for lieutenant governor, which is, let's see how the top of the ticket race is shaping up before everybody just rushes into this thing. Because there is some strategery involved when it comes to what the ticket should look like, or there ought to be. And you don't need to run for lieutenant governor for 450 days before an August primary. And so, you know, I hope that the rest of this calendar year is about beginning to see first impressions from the gubernatorial candidates and seeing who is kind of rising to the top. And then we should start the conversation about who's going to run for lieutenant governor, in my view.
That's a great way of putting it. And to remind folks again about, you know, who gets on the ballot and how do you get on the ballot. Anybody can say they're a candidate right now. You can say it all you want. But the way you get on the ballot is collecting so many signatures on what's called a nominating petition. And you can't start circulating those until April 15th of next year. And you turn them in on June 1st of next year by 5 p.m. So it's at 5:01 p.m. on June 1st that we will actually know who is a real candidate for governor and for all these other things. There's no rush. Nobody's collecting signatures anytime soon here. So I really like the perspective you're putting on this, is to have the long view on this kind of thing.
Yeah, and listen, and we should have a robust debate about who we want to lead our party. That stands in contrast to what Senator Ron Johnson thinks should happen on the Republican Party, which is he doesn't think there should be a primary. What he's saying is, by the end of this year, the Republican candidates for governor should get into a room, he didn't say whether he wants it to be smoke-filled or not, and just decide who's going to be the candidate. And I just think that's a great illustration of the ways in which the Republican Party rightly gets questioned these days when it comes to their commitment to democracy and letting people decide. On the Democratic side, there's not going to be any, you know, smoke-filled or otherwise back room. There's going to be a number of candidates who go out and make what I hope is a proactive case, and don't spend months tearing one another down, because this moment we find ourselves in is way too important for that. We need to ensure that whoever the Democratic nominee is emerges from the primary ready to run strong in the fall. We've got to keep our eyes on the prize.
We're talking to Joe Zepecki. Local update is next for some of you. For others, Joe and I will continue to ramble on here until the top of the hour. But in the few seconds I've got left, I see you wearing a Brewers cap. So you did not burn it and get rid of all of your other Brewers memorabilia simply by losing to the Cubs yesterday. You didn't say, that's it. It's over.
A lot of baseball left. I'm liking where we're at.
as well you should. So two out of three, the Brewers are off today. They're heading to Washington. They will be taking on the Nationals, and game one of that series is tomorrow. 5:10, the pregame tomorrow on Civic Media Stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. And tomorrow is a free ticket Friday. We're going to provide a keyword. You text that keyword to us on the Civic Media app. If you can get tickets delivered to your phone and use them electronically, those will be tickets to the Friday game next week against the New York Mets at American Family Field. So stick around for free ticket Friday tomorrow. I'm Pat Kreitlaw. You're up north.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years, and we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlaw on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I am back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. There is so much happening in the world today. Some would say too much happening, honestly, but it takes a lot of bandwidth to try to focus on everything, and even to make the attempt to do so, frankly, that's pretty much impossible. And I understand why maybe the Supreme Court isn't something that catches your attention, but that's why someone like Jim Santel, our very own Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, which is on Saturdays at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., is going to be holding an event in Wauwatosa tonight to help break down the controversial decisions that have come out of the High Court this past year. Jim, thank you so much for joining me today. Talk about the event that's happening tonight in Wauwatosa.
This is an interactive review and discussion of everything that the Supreme Court has done in the past term. Tonight at 6 o'clock in the Firefly Room of the Wauwatosa Public Library, that's located at 7635 West North Avenue in Wauwatosa. It is free of charge. You don't need to register at all. Everyone is welcome. Students of government and law and the administration of justice are welcome to come and be a part of our discussion, our review of what our Supreme Court has done in recent weeks and months and sometimes even years.
You'll be reviewing the 2024-2025 docket, which was a very crazy time for the Supreme Court. Is there anything you'll be focusing on specifically?
There are 67 cases that the Supreme Court decided this past term, Greg. We're not going to talk about all of those. There are about 7, 8, maybe 9 that we're going to focus on in particular, including some things as important as birthright citizenship and whether or not judges can enter orders that apply across the country. We'll talk about that case coming out of Maryland involving LGBT storybooks and the capacity of parents to make decisions about opting their children in and out of schools. We'll talk about the Affordable Care Act and whether or not task forces can make decisions about preventive care. We'll talk about all kinds of things related to the standards for assessing law enforcement, uses of force, and even things related to employment discrimination and minority and majority groups, all kinds of things related to guns as well. There's a case involving Mexico and its attempt to try to hold gun manufacturers responsible here. There's also a decision on ghost guns that is very important for our nation. And that's just a sampling of the major merits cases we're going to be deciding and reviewing. But we're also going to be talking about that other portion of what the Supreme Court does that you and I have talked about a lot, which is its shadow docket. And about 20 cases or so since January, we're not going to be talking about all of those, but some of the major cases that the Supreme Court has decided without telling us the reasons why, and having a dramatic impact upon the operation of government, our lives, our finances, our health care, all kinds of things that the Supreme Court has now undertaken on its emergency docket. We'll talk about the substance of those cases, and we'll talk about why every single American should be concerned about this increasing process that the Supreme Court is using to make decisions about major, major issues of our time.
I would suggest, if you can go to this, please do. I'm a big fan of Jim Santel. He's on Matinee on Air every Thursday to break down all the news that has to do with the law. And for someone like me, I would go to this event regardless. But in today's day and age, I'm sure people are attending with greater concern in their heart as more and more controversial decisions are coming out of the High Court.
That's exactly right, Greg. And I should emphasize, again, this is open to everyone. We are not political. We're apartisan. We're talking about what the Supreme Court has done. Do we have discussions about the reasons why these cases are indeed on the cutting edge and why they are controversial? Absolutely. That's what we do in America under the First Amendment. And that's the reason why I thank you so much for the invitation to the community generally to be a part of the discussion. Lots and lots of opportunities also, my friend, for questions and answers along the way so that you can get to those things to help you understand. We're not going to change the decisions of the Supreme Court. We may give you some additional insight into understanding what they have done and maybe having some impact individually and as a community on what our courts in America should be doing and are doing in the weeks and days and months and years ahead.
And again, you don't need a law degree to attend. This is a moment to have a conversation with the community on something that is very, very concerning and is in the news often.
And that's exactly right, too. We try to make this not only accessible, understandable, but also the kinds of things that you can take home and have discussion with other people around your kitchen table, your dinner table, and also in your neighborhood. So again, you do not have to come with your Black's Law dictionary or your texts from even your political science courses when you were in high school and college. Just the opposite. There are people, Greg, who show up and take notes. That's very much encouraged. Mm. We're not recording it. That's because my technological skills are not that sophisticated. But we do encourage a lot of interaction and a lot of thoughtful conversation. Looking forward to that very much.
That's why I thank you, Jim, for having events like this, because it's important to have individuals like yourself bringing the community together to have discussions, to help them understand everything that's going on. Because a lot of times people can feel like these topics are way over their head, but really what it comes down to, it's a group of people making decisions that affect all of our lives.
And that's our mission. That's our goal. Be a part of our discussion, our reporting, our interaction. Again, tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock in the Wauwatosa Public Library, the Firefly Room. We're also going to have some beverages and cookies there. Ooh. As a part of the discussion. So be a part of that, too. Would be delighted and honored to have any members of the community, students of all ages and all perspectives, be a part of our discussion.
Thank you so much, Jim, for taking a moment out of your busy schedule to make time for us. And I will talk to you later this morning on Matinair on Air.
Thanks, Greg.
If you like Jim Santel, stick around, because at 9:35, he'll be our guest on Matinair on Air, as he is every Thursday, to break down all the news in the world of law. Again, if you'd like to attend that event, it's at 6 p.m. at the Wauwatosa Public Library in the Firefly Room. So don't forget, you don't have to be a law student, you don't have to be a judge, you don't have to have a law degree to get in. Just show up with a desire to learn more and to add something to the conversation. And remember, there'll be cookies. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the Civic Media app. It's free and available at the Apple and Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a wonderful Thursday. It's 8:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Two sources tell CBS News President Trump and Mexico's Claudia Sheinbaum are expected to speak a day before his tariff deadline. It comes on the heels of a 15% deal with South Korea. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
A 15% rate, it sounds better than 25 or 50. But remember, if this really holds across all of these trading partners, this would be the highest tariff rate since the 1930s.
An arrest in the murders of a couple who'd been hiking with their two young children in an Arkansas state park. Police Colonel Mike Hager.
Because of their hard work and investigative skill, we were able to take a monster off the streets and bring relief to Clinton and Kristen's precious girls.
A funeral service in New York right now for a police officer among four killed in a mass shooting at a city.